And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right before Christmas, we learned about the humility of Saint John the Baptist. This last and the greatest of all the prophets, he was a popular preacher, and people were wondering if he was the Messiah. But he said he was not. He was forgetful of himself, saying he was nothing but a voice crying in the desert, someone who prepares the way for the Lamb of God. Today, on the Feast of the Holy Family, Saint Paul gives us a great lesson in humility and bearing with one another. We also learn how Jesus was preparing himself for his public ministry in the family life. He humbled himself and was born into a family who lived in remote Galilee. Very few even knew that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph existed, and the few people who knew them saw them as devout and good, but having nothing extraordinary in them. After I came back from our parish of St. Hugh, where I spent Christmas, I noticed all the beautiful flowers we have on our altar. It reminded me when our sacristan, Janet, once left a note in the sacristy which said, "Gone for flowers." And when Bishop Dolan saw the note, he wrote in it, "Don't forget the little flower." So I thought we could hear a little from St. Therese of Lisieux and learn what is the humble or little way to Jesus. Throughout her life, St. Therese, she wanted to become a saint. Yet in her eyes, her life wasn't at all extraordinary. In fact, as she lay dying, she overheard two sisters wondering how the prioress could find anything to say about her for an obituary, since she hadn't done anything extraordinary. In fact, if her sister hadn't advised her to write her autobiography, we would not know that Saint Therese existed at all. She once wrote to the prioress of her Carmelite monastery, "You know, dear mother, I've always wished that I could be a saint, but whenever I compared myself to the saints, there was always this unfortunate difference. They were like great mountains hiding their heads in the clouds, and I was only an insignificant grain of sand trodden down by all who passed by." But instead of being discouraged, Saint Therese trusted in God and believed that it was in her littleness that she could become a saint. She continued, "God wouldn't inspire us with ambitions that can't be realized. Obviously, there's nothing great to be made of me, so it must be possible for me to aspire to sanctity in spite of my insignificance. I've got to take myself just as I am, with all my imperfections. But somehow I shall have to find out a little way, all of my own, which will be a direct shortcut to heaven. This little way of Saint Therese consists in performing little virtues. The idea is not seeking big sacrifices to God, but instead giving little acts of holiness. And Saint Therese adopted this way without telling anyone. She just lived her quiet, humble life, doing good works in the smallest details of every day. For example, she gave a little smile to people, even to the sisters she didn't like. She ate whatever she received without complaint, so they started giving her all the worst leftovers. She even volunteered to assist one of the older sisters, who was extremely mean, accepting any criticism or anger that might be directed at her, and continuing to provide the best care she could. When we look for an inspiration to this little way, we only need to look at the child Jesus. As we heard during Advent, Saint John the Baptist spent his youth in the desert, which made his debut as a preacher all the more impressive. But Jesus grew up under the eyes of Joseph and Mary in the midst of the country people. And while the people were delighted with what they saw, they were not ready to believe that our Lord's mission in life was anything out of the ordinary, because they saw it every day. An ordinary way in a Catholic family is to love and obey God. Parents must follow the grave duty of bringing their children to God, meaning that they have to make sure they are baptized, and that they receive the first sacraments, attend Mass every Sunday, and receive catechism classes. If you want your child to go to heaven, you must teach the way he has to follow. Our Lord said, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So what does humility consist of? All the spiritual authors agree that, of course, humility does not mean self-loathing. Just as you should not try to draw attention to your good qualities, you shouldn't try to convince people how bad you are either. Fortunately, you don't need to. In any human community, you can always find a neighbor who has the charity of pinpointing your faults, not only to you personally, but also to everyone who has ears open to hear. What the spiritual authors usually give as a definition of humility is that it means honest recognition of one's talents. This is much closer to what humility consists of. We all have some talents we can and should use for God's glory. It's just that so often we can't wait to be thanked for those. It can be called like, share, and subscribe mentality. When man has thousands or millions of subscribers, views, and followers, and he publishes something what goes viral, he is at the peak of happiness, and don't forget to hit that bell icon. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing evil in this. The little unnoticed way is not for everyone, and many believe they are called to do great and wonderful things. And that is true. God can certainly use you to achieve great things. But never forget, He can just as well use someone else. Our spiritual life consists of progress and failings, charity and repentance. But as soon as we start to think that we are somehow a good catch to God, or that we are doing things what no one else could possibly do, that is the start of spiritual ruin. Instead, the more complete definition of humility means that we recognize our talents and admit what poor use we make of them. We think ourselves very wonderful beings when we achieve something good. We take credit for the work of others 1,000 times more devoted, more zealous, and by far more humble than ourselves, and think that the credit is due to us when it's not. In the Apocalypse, St. John writes, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and scrolls were opened, and another scroll was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the scrolls, according to their works." That day of judgment is destined to be a place of unpleasant revelations for many of us, when we read the record written by our own thoughts and actions, long forgotten because long closed by the seal of our love for self. The example of the Holy Family shows that all, big and small, are called to holiness. Some are called to do great things, but what everyone can do is to strive for holiness in their everyday life. Saint Therese and countless other souls became saints not by doing extraordinary things, but by doing ordinary things extraordinary well. This little way is for you, even if you feel weak and insignificant. In the words of Saint Therese, aspire sanctity despite your insignificance and find your shortcut to heaven. Make every daily task a way to manifest your love to God and others. Take each task of your day, no matter how ordinary, and offer it up to God as a gift of love for Him and for your neighbor, especially for those who you know also feel weak and insignificant. Whether your day is spent running errands and doing chores, or spent behind a desk at work, or studying in school, you always find an opportunity to love others through God. No matter where we are, how busy or stressed we are, we can love in many little ways. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.